This morning, live here on WUTC, we spoke with Chattanooga Mayor Andy Burke for our monthly conversation.
But wanted to start off with just talking about, of course, voting. We are seeing a lot of turnout for early voting, and there, of course, is a huge early voting push. Hashtag vote early cha. Tell us more about that.
I'm voting this Saturday. I'm not sure if you voted yet, but it's really important no matter who you're going to vote for to get out and vote. I think that the process just works better when more people are involved. I want people to think about this is if the only people who voted were 9-year-olds, we'd probably have a lot more politicians talking about, you know, slushies and toys and everything else. So it's not just about who you're voting for. It's about what are the subjects that people care about. And the more diverse our voting electorate is and that it represents the entirety of the city, the better off we are to have our representatives talk and think and work on those issues. And so this Saturday, I'll be voting. Encourage everybody to get their vote in early. If you have any questions or want to get information, you can always text CHA Votes to 97779. But just grab a friend, you know, get somebody else. We're about 40% above where we were 4 years ago at this moment. So people are getting the message, and I think they're fired up to make their voice heard.
And this early voting push here in Chattanooga, hashtag vote early cha, it's part of a statewide nonpartisan initiative.
That's right. We've got people, lots of different elected officials, but also celebrities and nonprofits and all kinds of people are involved in this. So take a picture of yourself, use the hashtag, try to get people excited about it. I've really been heartened by seeing a bunch of people on Twitter and Instagram saying, hey, I went out, it took me this long to vote, vote early CHA. You know, that makes me really excited to see that kind of enthusiasm in our community.
For all the valid concerns out there about how toxic social media can be, when it comes to this campaign, regardless of individual politics, social media as a positive force multiplier, reminding people to get out to vote and to share that they've voted, it's something to see.
It really is. You've seen it on social media everywhere. That's how we influence people now. Every once in a while, social media can put a smile on your face. Last night, one of my daughter's old teachers, she tweeted a picture that one of her students had drawn of me in class yesterday as they learned about the local government. That put a smile on my face. Every once in a while, you can kind of push past the toxicity of social media and find something on there that makes your heart feel a little more full.
I want to turn now to gun violence. The recent story in the Times Free Press, shootings in the city up 20% this year, bloodiest since 2016, I believe. Nationally, we're seeing gun violence trend up during this pandemic. What we saw in 2016 here in Chattanooga, largely gang-related. This time, many believing the spike has to do with COVID-19. From your perspective, how is the pandemic influencing this?
Well, first, the spike in gun violence is sickening. We've done so much work to reduce the gang violence or group member involved violence and have had a lot of success with it. And that's been a great bit of progress. And now to see the gun violence that is emanating across the city, it's just very disturbing, I think. And having talked to families and victims, it's disheartening. So I do think, Ray, that there is a spiritual problem, a sense of anxiety, a mental health issue that we're all facing from COVID-19. Because of the economic crisis, because of the actual health issues that have affected you and your family, or the fear of the health issues that could affect you and your family. because of the inability to gather in large groups, which many people get a lot of satisfaction from. All those things across the country seem to be affecting people. I don't know exactly what it is, but we have seen more anger-related violence that's unconnected. So road rage, somebody playing the music too loud while they're mowing their lawn, and that causes a confrontation and gun violence. Somebody getting mad that a neighbor drives too close to the dog, to their dog, while they're out walking their dog, and that leads to gun violence. Just an immense number of stories like that, and it's just so disturbing to me and to, I know, our officers.
Some things have had to be scaled back, or they've had to be done very differently due to the response to the pandemic. I'm thinking of how the police does community outreach.
Yes, you know, that's an important piece of what we do and how we solve these crimes, because we get a lot of information from people. It's just harder to do it these days. We've still had tremendous good fortune and the hard work of our officers to solve these crimes has been outstanding, but we're just not able to do those kinds of community events to create trust and bonds like we would normally do.
And then there are trends such as gun sales are up, and that goes above and beyond what the city alone can do, but that has to be noted.
Well, we can't regulate anything. I mean, we can't even stop people from carrying guns in our parks, as you know, some recent protests showed. So it's taking away local control, which we have done again and again in our state, is a mistake. We want our local officials to be able to determine what the community wants to see and how they can how they'd like their area to go. And the solutions in Chattanooga might be different than those in Jasper, just next door to us, which might be different from those that are in Nashville. But having some ability for local people to decide what's best for their city is, to me, that's where democracy is the best. It can be messy, it can be difficult, but we at least are hearing directly from people. And the fact that we can't restrict, for example, you know, being able to use where people can carry guns, even in our public spaces, that's hard to accept.
Let's talk about another piece of the response to COVID-19. The proposal from your office to use coronavirus stimulus funding for a low barrier homeless shelter. Explain that a bit more for us.
So, unfortunately, the economic devastation that has come from coronavirus has severely affected people at the bottom of the income scale, and we've seen a rise in the number of people who need homeless services. We have been making a huge indent on the number of homeless people in our community as of March, and then since the coronavirus pandemic came to our community, that has all changed. So we've seen a large rise. We've gotten some federal funding that can only be used for COVID-19 type activities and has got a strong housing focus. So rather than using it on some temporary solutions, we wanted to find a use for these dollars that may be more innovative and would provide longer term value for the city. And so buying up one of these hotels that might be a little bit underserved, might be a bit more blighted. We're looking at all kinds of different hotels, but being able to both help make sure that that doesn't become an eyesore in the community, and also put some homeless individuals there is really helpful. The last thing that I'll say, Ray, is that we've really made a lot of progress in our system and how to get people housed. The Chattanooga Interagency Council on Homelessness recommended that we have a low barrier shelter for a few reasons, but the most important to me is that when people are at the at a homeless shelter, then we can get them housed quicker because we don't have to spend 3-4 days, 2 weeks looking for them when we know that they need to sign a document. We need their assistance on some information. We have the lease ready, or it's time to move in. And that's really a significant delay for us in helping people get to housing. And so if you know that they're living at the shelter, then that all of a sudden changes the speed with which you can house people.
And the shelter is meant to be a stop. It is not meant to be a permanent destination or a warehouse.
That's right. You want to keep that system moving. And in fact, it can be extremely counterproductive to just keep people in the same place over and over again, among other reasons, because they aren't able to deal with the underlying reasons that they may be homeless, like drug addiction or mental health issues or whatever else that they may have. It's very hard for them to deal with that until they get to stable, permanent housing.
This is going to take some time. This is not something that can happen in a day or a week or a month. We're talking well into next year, correct?
It's just going to take a while. We don't have a deal yet with any particular hotel. We're, of course, it's the market like anything else, so we're going to need to negotiate with somebody, figure it out. But we do believe we have the funds set aside that will allow us to do this.
That was my next question. Do you anticipate the funds that you have would be enough for this, or would this involve another slice of another stimulus package out of Washington, which of course has been debated and debated and is still being debated as we speak?
Well, don't let this stop us from getting another stimulus package, but we believe that we identified the source of funds to do this because counting on Washington, D.C. to come to your rescue, as we've learned, is not a viable strategy.
Your thoughts on where we are headed with jobs as we hit the end of this year, beginning of next year? We've seen the trends in the jobless numbers in Chattanooga statewide. I'm also thinking of this because we've had Startup Week here, the Spirit of Innovation Awards, the entrepreneurial culture here in Chattanooga. As we come to the end of this year going into next, and as you were winding down your term, where at this point do you see the economy headed? What snapshot do you have there from City Hall on this?
Well, let's start with the fact that our coronavirus numbers are going up again and that we're rapidly approaching our highs from a few months ago, and that is knocking us back on our heels again. And I am tired of it. I know that everybody listening is tired of the fact that we have to be diligent about coronavirus, but it's harming our economy. It's harming our health of the people. It's affecting families, and it's really tough. So we're still affected by it. I think we got to deal with that first. We have to solve this problem. I certainly pray for a vaccine here soon, but we also have to take diligent action until we get a vaccine. Once I think we can start recovering, truly recovering, we can remember that Chattanooga was in a fundamentally better place than most of our peers when we entered the pandemic, and I don't see any reason why we can't be that same way coming out of the pandemic. And there is the chance to be intentional about how we recover that is more inclusive, that is focused on higher wages and more small businesses. But we should as we do that, and you know, the head of the chamber, Christy Gillenwater, and I have a regular meeting. We were talking about this yesterday. You know, we know that a lot of large employers seem to be doing well. They're weathering this crisis well. They're weathering it well, but small businesses aren't. And that's true in Chattanooga, and that's true across the country. I think we've lost about one out of every seven small businesses in America. That's really awful. It affects neighborhoods. It affects families. And we're going to have to be really intentional about recovering from that.
And what you're talking about for small businesses, that is nationwide. Another aspect that's nationwide is what we're seeing with commercial retail space.
Yeah, I think that's a real issue. It's going to be difficult for a while. Retail space was already difficult given the prevalence of online sales, and retail space is great for a community because it employs jobs, but it's also great because it enlivens neighborhoods. It makes a downtown feel more enjoyable and fun. And it attracts more visitors, and all those things in turn create more jobs. And plus, you have a lot of retail space that is owned by people who live in our community. And the income that they receive gets filtered back into Chattanooga. And that space is tough. So we're going to see empty storefronts over the next year or two. And helping people get back into there, figuring out what animates a neighborhood or a city is going to be a difficult job, but one that I think Chattanooga can be in great position to be in the leadership for.
As cases and hospitalizations surge across the state, including we've seen the coverage in rural areas of this trend, we also have the state of Tennessee's initial draft for distributing a vaccine once it's available. Of course, distribution would involve the state, the county, designated providers. But your thoughts on the city's role here?
This is a really difficult, you know, logistical problem to get vaccines out. Plus, you have to have trust because we've seen it play out in the political sphere. We already have people who don't trust vaccines. On top of that, there's all this politics now about partisanship when it comes to vaccines. And so it's going to be tough. So the city can be a trusted partner with those institutions and those neighborhoods that are out there. We can help with the logistical issues. Our COVID-19 task force and particularly the community testing group that we have as part of the COVID-19 task force was really instrumental in partnering with the county about, you know, other sites for testing over the course of several months. And a lot of the sites that you saw spring up in partnership with the county health department were, you know, came out of those discussions. And we can do the same thing with vaccines. We're just going to need to make sure people trust the vaccine, they take it, because in the long run, we're going to need a whole lot of people to get vaccinated to really have an effect on COVID-19.
I wanted to zero in on that word trust because I saw your Facebook Live from the other night. And during that, you were talking about facts and how there's even basic disagreement on facts, not just about vaccines and people who choose to wear a mask and people who don't choose to wear a mask. For people who did not see that the other night, tell us more.
Well, it is a really devastatingly bad thing for our country that there are people intent on destroying trust in facts. So coronavirus, COVID-19, they're facts that we just know, that science tells us again and again and again that it are widely accepted, like masks help prevent the spread of coronavirus, like it's different than the flu, like all those things. But there are people who are intent, and I don't think that this is I don't think that this is happenstance. I tell people, your neighbor who retweets misinformation might have only the best intentions, but the person who put it on there initially is purposefully out there doing this. So I want people to understand that I believe that it is perfectly acceptable to say, I know that masks prevent coronavirus transmission, but I don't think that we should have a statewide mask mandate. That's an absolutely legitimate position to have, because that's your opinion based on a common shared set of facts. But what is devastating for our community is when you say, no, coronavirus is the same thing as the flu, no, the masks don't do any good. Now we can't have a debate about what the best course of action is, because we're not starting from the same set of facts. So this is why misinformation is so damaging to our community.
And a problem before the pandemic, magnified by the pandemic, and will need to be addressed along with turning the page on the pandemic.
We have to find ways to create more trust, to have shared sets of facts. And again, I don't think that means everybody has to think the same way. But, you know, we often in Chattanooga talk about Walter Cronkite calling us the dirtiest city in America. Well, that was a time where lots of people watched that news station, looked at what Walter Cronkite said, and he was the most, you know, he's the most trusted man in America. Well, we don't have that now. And so we can't, when Walter Cronkite called us that, then that allowed our city to say, okay, Walter Cronkite says this is the case. It is, by the way, the facts that he did that based on an EPA report. So what are we going to do about it? But if we just refuse to accept the fact, then we never start the recovery from this really awful moment.
You'll be holding a conversation on Facebook Live with Josh Heumann, talking about resilience. As we wrap up here, tell us a little bit more about him.
So a couple of years ago at State of the City, I made a vow for us to start a resiliency plan, to do it alongside our neighbors. And we had a number of mayors sign on to that around the region. And Josh Heumann is leading that from our partner at Stantec. And so I just would encourage everybody, every Monday night and every Thursday night at 5:30, I'm on Facebook Live. This is, since we can't meet in large groups, you know, I think I was doing this before the pandemic with you, but we have to find new ways to communicate. And a little bit of the difference, this is great to get out information. Facebook allows us to have a little bit more of a conversation with the people who are watching because of comments and everything else. So we'll be talking about standing up to the shocks of our system, like pandemics, like tornadoes, like floods, and what our region can do, because we know that these are only becoming more frequent and more severe.
And as always, best ways for people to connect with the city online.
You can always go to chattanooga.gov. We have a number of different resources there. Download our 311 app for services or call 311. And you can always email me at mayor@chattanooga.gov, where I promise you I'm everywhere on social media. Despite my complaints about it earlier, I'm in all the places, and you can reach me there.
All right. Mayor Andy Burke, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.